Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast. All right, back on the Young Turks. I just figured out one of these tweets, Anna. All right, let me read the first one. A fan of Unknown says, welcome back, Cenk. Happy Eid Mubarak, everyone. Indeed. I found out from my parents that it's apparently the Muslim holiday, Eid, I think tomorrow?
What do you guys do during that? I mean, when I say you guys, I don't mean you, because you're not Muslim.
What do you mean, you guys?
Like, what's the celebration? Is there a celebration?
Don't get me talking about Islam.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Anyway. All right. Supposed to, in Turkey, they call it the sugar holiday.
That sounds fun.
Theoretically.
Every day is a sugar holiday in the Kasparian household.
Yeah. I'll tell you, look, the one good thing about it, look, I'm sure there's plenty of good things. Eid Mubarak to everyone, yada, yada. Okay, happy Bayram if you're Turkish. One of the good things about Islam is they emphasize giving to the poor a lot. And so during the holidays, you're supposed to give a lot to the poor. So that's a good thing, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, Ailo says, today should be an important day to remind people about the importance of contraception. Never know when your kid might grow up to screw up the country. And at first I was confused by that tweet, then I realized it's Trump's birthday.
Oh yeah, that's true.
A story we skipped today was a bunch of politicians fawning over Donald Trump. Happy birthday, Mr. President! It's two things that struck me on that. Ted Cruz, was this the day that he said your father was a murderer? I forget. Anyway.
And insulted your wife.
Yeah. Ted Cruz is such a pathetic man. And the other pathetic guy is Newt Gingrich. Guess what? Like everybody else is just like, hey, happy birthday, da da da. Newt Gingrich was like, Calista and I wish you a happy birthday. Oh, just for Christ's sake.
You're the worst.
For Christ's sake,
okay,
dude.
Okay.
Can you do one thing without Calista?
His admiration for his wife is the only redeemable thing about him.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, anyway, yeah.
You're the worst.
Okay.
Would you prefer him to be more like Giuliani, which I heard that he's...
No, I don't want him to be like Trump or Giuliani or anything. I don't want him to be... Can you people just be normal for a second? Why? Because they're extreme. They either like Trump, like, oh, I went through 13 different wives with 17 Playboy mistresses, some of which got... Anyway, I'll leave that out, and that I paid for while I was pretending somebody else was paying for it. Anyway, did I say that out loud? And then you got Newt Gingrich's and the Mike Pence's like, I can't do anything without my wife. Where's my wife? Where's my wife? I promise to you, yeah. I won't ever look at another woman. I promise, Calista. And whatever Mike Pence's wife is, please, please, I'm begging you.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that category.
Both of them are pathetic. Anyway, all right, what's next?
All right. There's a video that state-run television and media in North Korea keeps playing over and over again following the summit between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore. That video features Donald Trump saluting a North Korean general. Now, I actually didn't know this, but our president is not supposed to salute members of the military for any other country. It's considered disrespectful. U.S. presidents generally salute U.S. service members. And it makes sense when you think about it. Now, this video that we're about to show you, again, is being run over and over again in North Korea, and you'll understand why. Take a look. So when I first saw that, I saw it all over the news this morning, and I was like, I don't care. But it did remind me of something that's important. First of all, before this meeting was even going to take place, he was asked, Donald Trump was asked, have you been preparing for this? He's like, I don't need to prepare. It's all about attitude. It's about touch. It's what I do.
And he said, I've been preparing my whole life. Yeah, I know. You're practicing whether you salute other soldiers, especially soldiers of a dictatorial government that runs concentration camps, and by the way, is also communist. I've been preparing my whole life. You've been preparing for nothing, you schmuck. So, first of all, that propaganda video put out by North Korea was hilarious on a couple of different fronts. You got a little snippet of it there. The rest of it was like this person like screaming with joy, like, ah, I don't know, of course, what she was saying, but like, Donald Trump did everything we wanted him to do. Ha ha! Right? That's what it sounded like. I remember Obama got criticized.
Okay, can we? It's so good. It's so good.
Put up the volume for a second. Okay. Anyway. So I remember Obama got criticized when he once gave a salute with a coffee in his hand.
Right.
Because he had coffee and there was a Marine, I believe it was,
yeah,
and he wanted to salute the Marine. So like Fox News, I guess, wanted him to like throw the coffee like in the middle of the tarmac and then salute, right? But Fox News is going nuts over this. They're like, hey, how could he possibly salute a general of a country led by a dictator?
No. I love the comparisons to Obama's mistakes because Obama made a couple mistakes when it came to saluting. Okay, mm-hmm. So that coffee mug thing certainly did get a lot of criticism. Mm-hmm. And then there was a situation back in 2009 that Obama got a lot of hate for. In 2009, during his first visit to Japan as a president, Obama bowed deeply from the waist when greeting the Japanese emperor, eliciting criticism from conservatives who said the gesture projected weakness on the world stage. Okay, let's hold on for a second. Trump just gave away all the goodies before getting a concrete nuclear deal from North Korea. I would argue that that's weak, but you know, conservatives are happy with what's going on. And by the way, I think overall people are happy that this is a diplomatic approach, and I get that, but Trump was not a good negotiator so far. He might be in the future, in future meetings, we'll see. But my favorite Trump tweet, there's always a Trump tweet from years ago that connects to a current modern day story. Trump said this, the amateur, first Barack Obama was caught bowing to the Saudi king, but now the president of Mexico. I don't even know if that was true.
Of course it wasn't true. He didn't, there's no tradition in Mexico of bowing.
That's so true.
So look, what I can't stand is the hypocrisy of yes, both sides, but yes, Republicans do it way, way worse. Okay, so in our case, I don't care that he saluted the general. I just don't care. Who cares? It has no effect at all, right? If Obama had done it, I'd say, look, I guess he shouldn't have done it. Who cares? Trump does the same exact thing, right? Now, for conservatives, they're like, he bowed to the Saudi. I showed you at the time when we were on the air when Obama did the thing with Japan and Saudi Arabia. Then I showed you pictures of George Bush and the Saudi king making out. Okay, they didn't make out, but almost. They held hands. And they walked around his so-called ranch, which was fake. He sold it the minute that the presidency was over. It was never real. The press never called him out on that. He was just playing games. But anyway, he held hands with the Saudi king, and then I think they might have kissed on the cheeks or something.
Oh my God.
And I don't know which parts they touched. Anyway, but the conservatives are like, way to make out with the Saudis. That is strong leadership. Obama bowed to the Saudis. And then Trump, his first visit is to Saudi Arabia, not to Canada and Mexico, which is traditionally the first visit of the president. Mm-hmm. And they're like, way to go bow to the Saudis first. Genius move, always thinking. Obama, coffee in his hand. Trump salutes a dictator's general. They're like, ha-ha, bravo! Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. Just come on, man. Sean Hannity, how often do you vomit in your own mouth while doing your show? Because the way he kissed Trump's ass, he would have pilloried Obama. If Obama went and met with Kim Jong-un and got nothing, there was a vague promise of later, North Korea will denuclearize. How? Nothing. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Are we going to verify? Nope, I'm not going to. Trump tweeted, I can't believe Obama's not verifying. He got nothing. And Hannity's like, oh, Donald Trump. You want to talk about bowing? That's what all Fox News does. So I'm so sick of it. This is not like the salute itself is not important. The hypocrisy surrounding it is what drives me crazy.
Right. I totally agree with you. If there weren't that angle of hypocrisy and also Trump's claims that he didn't need to prepare because he was preparing his own whole life, it doesn't matter. It was a mistake. He didn't know what he was doing. He usually doesn't know what he's doing. I would give him a pass if he were any other president who does actually do his homework.
But that's last thing. That's why they prepare the president for protocols. Now, if you're a plumber and you don't know what to do with a North Korean general,
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Fine, right? If you just won the presidency and you don't know what to do with a North Korean general or the queen or the pope, fine. But you know what responsible adults do? They go, hey, what's the protocol when I go to meet the queen? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to curtsy? Whatever that is, right? Do I ride the pope mobile or do I not ride the pope mobile? I want to be respectful of other people without hurting our own country's stature.
That's right.
Okay, that's what a smart, responsible person does. They do just a little bit of homework. Trump's like, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Ha ha! And Hannity's like, bravo. Way to not study, you jackass.
Okay. So let's move on to Trump's interview with Fox. You know, that's going to be fun. Donald Trump recently had an interview with Bret Baier of Fox News, and some of his statements were so outlandish that even Bret Baier seemed a little shocked. And there was a lot of talk about North Korea for obvious reasons. The summit with Kim Jong-un just concluded, and we wanted, you know, Bret Baier wanted to get some details on, you know, Trump's thoughts about Kim Jong-un and what the future holds with U.S.-North Korea relations. Now, without saying too much, let's toss to the first video where they specifically talk about Un and his dictatorship.
You know, you were asked in the press conference a number of different times and different ways about human rights. And, you know, that you called this relationship really good and that he was a very talented person. You know, you call people sometimes killers. He is a killer. I mean, he's clearly executing people.
He's a tough guy. Hey, when you take over a country, tough country, with tough people, and you take it over from your father, I don't care who you are, what you are, how much of an advantage you have. If you can do that at 27 years old, that's 1 in 10,000 that could do that. So he's a very smart guy. He's a great negotiator. But I think we understand each other.
He inherited something. I inherited everything that I have. And so we understand each other. I feel like everything goes back to Trump's own daddy issues, right?
Yeah.
And he's impressed that Kim Jong-un is able to be just as brutal a dictator as his father was. And, Trump thinks of himself as someone who is trying to live up to his father's expectations. Look, I'm doing a little bit of pop psychology here, but that's the way it read to me.
Definitely. He's like, the only part that was honest was we understand each other. They both inherited everything they got. They're both screw ups. They're both dictator wannabes. One of them is actual dictator. The other one doesn't believe in the rule of law and would love to emulate Kim Jong-un. Let's go to the other stuff, because I think that he says he's a great negotiator. Okay, well, that's just because you gave away the house to him and got nothing in return. You promised not to do joint military exercise with South Korea, which shocked the South Koreans. Mm-hmm. Because again, he didn't do any homework. If he'd done homework, they would have told him, don't give that away. That's really important. A South Korean newspaper said that it was negotiation by a kindergartner. Okay, but a kindergartner probably does a little bit of homework. He didn't. So, and he's like, oh, he got me to stop doing joint military exercises with our allies, and I got nothing in return. He's a great negotiator. Yeah, I guess anybody's a good negotiator. So then he says, he's a tough guy. Don't say that. Dictators aren't tough guys. That puts him in a positive light. Look, you got to do negotiations with him. I'm not telling you to insult him like you were before. You don't have to call him Rocket Man. You don't have to spit in his eye. But don't say like, it makes him look like Clint Eastwood. And then I don't know what it's a tough country with tough people means. I mean, they're tough because they have to survive Kim Jong-un's concentration camps.
Yeah.
And then finally, the 1 in 10,000 comment. No, anyone who inherits their a dictatorship, whether it's a monarchy in the old days when those were real, or it's, you know, the Saudis in this case, etc. One out of one can do it. Every one of them can do it. What is it? Just okay, kill everybody who opposes me. Anybody can do that. What do you mean 1 out of 10,000 can do that? It's literally given to you. The whole country is given to you, and you're allowed to murder anyone you like, and he murders people, and he puts them in concentration camps. What is the 1 out of 10,000? No, eventually, maybe some of them screw it up, but most of them have rule with such an iron fist that they don't. Where did you get the 1 out of 10,000 dictators that were given to a country survive? Where did you get that so-called fact?
Well, it's really interesting because Trump tends to be impressed by things that are incredibly easy to accomplish. So I'll give you another example related to North Korea. He's very self-congratulatory about the meeting itself and that how it's a historical meeting that no other U.S. president has been able to do. But all these other U.S. presidents before you, of course, had the opportunity to do it, but they specifically did not meet with Kim Jong-un or his father when he was in power, because that was exactly what the North Korean regime wanted. So they wanted to approach it from a more strategic standpoint. Now, look, I like the fact that we're opening up an actual conversation. I think that the diplomacy, especially under the Trump administration, is much better than what we got before. But Trump applauds himself and applauds others for things that are so easy to accomplish while simultaneously criticizing people who did earn things based on their merit. The criticism that Obama got, I got it. You don't like his political policies. I don't know if he really knew what his political policies were. But Obama actually rose up from a child who was raised by a single mother to a United States president. And instead of, you know, applauding the hard work that he put in, the education that he put himself through to get to the place that he is, Trump just brushed him off as a Kenyan who scammed his way into government.
That's because the only thing he knows is scam, so he projects. Yeah. He's like, oh, my daddy gave me $200,000. I'm sorry, that would be way too low. $200 million. And I only went bankrupt 6 times. Only 1 out of 10,000 people can do that. The other 9,999 would go bankrupt 7 times. Okay, that's him. And by the way, Fox News, as usual, when Obama met with Raul Castro or opened up Cuban relations, how dare he meeting with a dictator and a communist?
That's such a great
And of course,
point.
The idiot right winger said, no, that's different because he's a communist. So is Kim Jong-un.
Yeah,
that's
a great point. So in the second portion of their conversation about North Korea, they did touch on the human rights abuses. That's something that Trump has gotten criticism for. There was very little talk about that during the summit. And so Brett Baer asked him about it, and here's how Donald Trump responded.
But I mean, he's still done some really bad things.
Yeah, but so have a lot of other people done some really bad things. I mean, I could go through a lot of nations where a lot of bad things were done.
The United States.
Which is what he said when they asked him about Putin doing bad things. He's like, so what? We do bad things. Now, look, the thing is, we do bad things, and you do have to negotiate with your enemies. But again, for God's sake, grow up for a second. The correct answer there is, of course, terrible things have happened in North Korea, and we want to fix those things, and that is why we have opened up a dialogue to fix those issues. And it's not a wise policy to insult the people that we are negotiating with in the middle of negotiations. Perfectly fine answer. Carry on, right? Instead, he's like, hey, so what? So what? A lot of people do bad things. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, that's another sign of him being a bad negotiator, because it makes all the sense in the world to not bring up those issues in the very first conversation, because you want follow-up conversations, you want more negotiations to kind of solidify this deal and have actual details with a timetable and verification in it. But Trump is now, again, giving the goodies away for free because he's justifying or minimizing those human rights abuses. Well, I mean, Kim Jong-un can turn around and say in later negotiations, well, you said other countries you'd do it. In fact, other countries that you deal with economically do it. So why should I have to change my human rights abuses?
Donald Neville Chamberlain Trump over here with, well, I mean, Hitler's done some bad things, but a lot of people do bad things. I mean, look, Kim Jong-un's got concentration camps. Millions of lives have been lost in North Korea. You find out the details of North Korea. We've reported on it in the past. Like the percentage of people in North Korea that have worms in their stomachs because there's no food to eat, and they're forced to eat dirt in the camps that they are put into because they said something wrong because of political correctness. I mean, the things that happen in North Korea are some of the worst abuses we've seen in human history. And this guy's going around, so what? Other people do bad things. God damn it. We elected a child.
And just stop. Like, you don't have to go around town applauding Kim Jong-un and talking about what a fantastic guy he is. Like, there's no one pressuring him or pushing him to do it. He's doing that on his own. Okay, so finally, the situation with the military exercises that the United States does with South Korea. He's been asked about that on several occasions. He was asked about it again with Bret Baier, and here's what he had to say. Video.
Is the military drawing down in South Korea? You kind of hinted at that. And is there going to be this kind of tit for tat?
No, it's not drawing down at all. In fact, honestly, it was never discussed. I'm sure he'd like that. We sort of understood that was never on the table. With that being understood and you know, you ask me a question like that, I would love to get the military out as soon as we can because it costs a lot of money for us. We don't get paid fully for that military, which, you know, I'll be talking to South Korea about.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
He contradicted himself. He did talk about wanting to bring the troops back immediately following that meeting.
You just said it. You just said it on TV. They also have television in North Korea. So if you want the troops removed, so do the North Koreans. What do? You hold that and then you give it up in negotiations later, but you extract concessions from them for giving that up. Now, I don't know that that's the right thing to do in terms of taking our troops out of South Korea, but if you wanted to do that, that's a perfect situation where you can get incredible concessions from the North Koreans if you actually knew how to negotiate. If you weren't Bozo the Clown that went in there without any preparation, well, I'd like to take them out. I'd like to take out the troops. Oh, that's what they want? Oh, did I say that out loud on TV? Oops. Now what leverage do you have, you schmuck?
So this all goes back to the need to prepare for this incredibly important and, yes, historic meeting with a dictator. You need to prepare and do your homework so you understand the best way to approach a diplomatic deal. And, you know, there have been a number of stories published recently because of leakers in the White House, they still exist, indicating that Trump continues to isolate himself from his own aides. He doesn't trust them. He doesn't like them. The only person he still talks to on a regular basis is Scott Pruitt. And when he does seek advice, he gets that advice from his friends who are outside of the White House, including Anthony Scaramucci and one of his other longtime friends. These are not people who are experienced in negotiating on foreign policy. These are not people who have any knowledge of this type of stuff. And so he goes into it, you know, I think with the best intentions, but unfortunately, if he keeps moving forward this way, we're not going to get what we need, which is the denuclearization of North Korea.
The only guy he talks to in his administration is the most corrupt one, Scott Pruitt.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if Trump's corrupt. I can't quite tell. By the way, if you're watching this show, share the stream, share our videos. I mean, are you seeing this on cable news? No, we're telling you what he's actually doing wrong, and we're not pulling any punches. And we're not having some right-wing schmuck come on here and go, well, on the other hand, maybe giving away the whole store is a great, brilliant strategy. I don't need to hear that BS, because it isn't true.
Yeah.
All right, we got another part to this, right?
Yes, we do. So during Donald Trump's interview with Bret Baier on Fox News, it became abundantly clear, if it wasn't clear already, that Trump seems to have an affinity for dictators around the world, specifically Vladimir Putin and also the leader of China. But first, I want to start off with Trump's support of Putin and how he insisted that Russia should be involved in these G7 summits. So it would be the G8. Of course, Russia was expelled from these summits because of the fact that they had annexed Crimea in Ukraine. Now, Bret Baier asked him about that, and here's why Trump wants Russia to be involved. Take a look.
You know, we spend probably 25% of our time talking about Russia. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be better if they were here? Now, I'm not for Russia. I'm for the United States. But as an example, if Vladimir Putin were sitting next to me at a table instead of one of the others, and we were having dinner the other night in Canada, I could say, would you do me a favor? Would you get out of Syria? Would you do me a favor? Would you get out of the Ukraine? Get out of Ukraine. You shouldn't be there. Just come on. Now, I think I'd probably have a good relationship with him if he were at that meeting. I could ask him to do things that are good for the world.
So this is actually good news, because previous reporting indicated that Trump was not receiving any counsel, any advice on such important issues. And now it appears that he is working with one aide in particular. And we have some video of his mentorship. Take a look.
For you naysayers, I have two strong words for you. Come on. Come on.
Well, I didn't know he was emulating him. Okay, then that makes sense. Okay, I'm always reminded of Christine O'Donnell's ad. That was a Republican in Delaware a while back who ran a campaign ad saying, I'm not a witch. Opening up the question as to whether she was a witch. So when Trump says, no, I'm not for Russia, I'm for America. You're the president of the United States of America. You shouldn't have to say that sentence.
Come on.
On the other hand, come on. And look at what a, again, I feel bad for kids every time I say this, but what a child. If Russia was sitting next to me, I'd say, hey, do me a favor. Do me a favor, get out of Syria. Okay, MAGA guys, really? Really? You think that's how it works? Putin's like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you wanted a favor. Here, I'll pass the banana pudding and I'll get out of Syria. You think that's how it works? You think Putin's a schmuck? Like, oh, I didn't know you were going to ask me for a favor. Okay, because what has Trump done his whole life? He runs these companies. His daddy gave him the money. He bankrupted six companies. And he normally goes into negotiations and goes, Come on, do me a favor, right? They're not gonna get out of Crimea to do you a favor. I mean, this is worse than Bush. George W. Bush said that he looked into Putin's eyes and saw that he had a good heart. Oh, Jesus Christ, a bunch of children. And he gave him the nickname Pootie Poot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trump just outdid Pootie Poot.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, pass the A1 sauce and get out of Syria.
Yeah. Well, look, Trump seems to, again, have some affection, admiration for people who tend to be dictators, tend to be authoritarian. Another perfect example is how he applauds the leader of China. Now, the leader of China essentially did away with his own term limits so he can be the leader of China indefinitely. And here's what Trump had to say about that.
I have a very good relationship with President Xi of China. He's, you know, an incredible guy. They just, you know, essentially president for life. That's yeah. Pretty good.
President for life, that's pretty good. No, look, that's kind of terrifying, though. That's kind of terrifying.
He does think that. He does think that. I've told you a million times, he doesn't believe in our former government. He doesn't believe in democracy. He's like, why doesn't the attorney general work for me?
That's right.
Why does he work for the American people? I don't get it. Why does he enforce the law if I don't want him to enforce the law? Because you're not a dictator. But he's like, oh, Putin, oh, that'd be great. Kim Jong-un. And President Xi from China, president for life, pretty good. We're really good friends. It's not a thing you're supposed to encourage. We're supposed to be the shining city on a hill. You could say, hey, that's marketing and it's not true, etc. But at least we should be a decent example, and other presidents, at a minimum, pretended to be. They pretended to care about human rights. They pretended, and some of them meant it, cared about democracy. And didn't want to encourage dictators by going, president for life, pretty good, huh? Almost as good as ketchup on a well-done steak.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, addresses the meeting with Kim Jong-un and how the deal will happen moving forward.
Hey, do me a favor, come back. You're right in the middle of this podcast. We've got another great segment coming up for you. If you'd like the full show, which is actually 5 segments, go to tytnetwork.com/join. You become a member, you support the show, you support independent media, and you get the whole 2-hour show ad-free every day. Let's go do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Ken B writes in on YouTube Super Chat, for-profit prison companies are shifting to immigrants to offset the coming loss of business due to legalization of marijuana. That is true as states continue to legalize. Now to Twitter, use hashtag TYT live during the live show to communicate with us on Twitter. YouTube Super Chat helps the show, so that's great. Thank you for all the people who've done that. Anyway, hashtag clone Bernie Sanders writes in, do the Republicans know that these kids were once fetuses? Good question.
Yeah, maybe they'd care.
Yeah, maybe they would care then. I think this is Ray for Madness. It says, when Cenk pretends to be Trump talking about strategy, it sounds like a joke, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. Well, unfortunately, that's probably true. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. A state lawmaker in Arizona is catching a little bit of heat from his party following some statements he made about how there aren't enough white kids to go around in the state's public schools. This is State Representative David Stringer. Now, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I want to be fair to him. So why don't you hear from him himself? Let's take a look at the video.
60% of public school children in the state of Arizona today are minorities. That complicates racial integration because there aren't enough white kids to go around. But when you look at that 60% number for our public school students, just carry that forward 10 years, 15 years, it's going to change the demographic voting base of this state. And that's what's going on around the country. Immigration is politically destabilizing. President Trump has talked about this. I'm very concerned about this. This immigration today represents an existential threat to the United States. If we don't do something about immigration, very, very soon, the demographics of our country will be irrevocably changed, and we will be a very different country.
I want you to focus on the most important sentence in that rant. Immigration is politically destabilizing. At the end of the day, it always goes back to that. We are the Republican Party. We are racist. We are hateful. People don't usually like to vote for us because of those reasons, unless they look like us. So we need to do something about immigrant kids. We need to do something about immigrants. They're politically destabilizing. That's what it's really. Look, they, of course, think they're inferior, that immigrants are inferior. But more importantly, they're worried about what increased diversity means for them and their political future. That's what they really care about. And by the way, there aren't enough white kids to go around. So what is your solution? There are a lot of immigrants who have become legalized here in the United States. They're going to continue getting married, having kids. They might even mix with white kids. So, like, what's your solution? Like, forced procreation among white couples?
But only whites.
Only whites, yes.
Because there aren't enough white kids to go around. Where are they going? So he didn't say legal immigrants versus illegal immigrants.
Right.
He said whites. And then he talked about demographics, mm-hmm. and there's shifting demographics. And then he said it's an existential threat to the United States. Hold on, let's think about what that means. If the United States is a combination of immigrants, Asians, Latinos, whites, blacks, etc., why would it be an existential threat to the United States? If the sign on the Statue of Liberty is right, give me your poor, your wretched refuse of your teeming shores, etc., why would it be an existential threat? But if your view of the United States is white and only white, then yeah, it is an existential threat to the white United States of America. Mm-hmm. Back when you were in charge. Because it's not like white people are going away. It's not like they're not having enough sex. It's not like they're not having enough kids. That's actually not an issue. That's an issue in other countries. Or is there enough of a birth rate, et cetera? That's largely not an issue here. No, what they're saying is we're going to lose political power. And we used to rule over them. And we won't be able to rule over them anymore. And our white supremacy will be lost.
This is the reason why the redistricting happens, gerrymandering happens. This is exactly the reason why states like Ohio are now making it even more difficult for people to vote. They're purging their polls, and the Supreme Court just waited on that and said, absolutely, please go ahead, purge your polls. Okay, story we did earlier this week if you want to look into the details of that. So this, it's always policy that positively impacts the Republican Party. Because they can't win based on the merits of their ideas. Yeah. And so they have to rig the system in their favor. And in his mind, this is, hey, immigration, I mean, diversity, that's politically destabilizing to people like me. We need to do something about this. White kids, they need to go around.
So now Anna mentioned that story. That's a really important story. If you want to catch all of our shows, become a member, tyt.com/join. Don't miss this stuff. All of this is very important, and they're rolling through here. And so I used to think that, hey, white supremacy, that sounds a bit extreme. But it turns out we're in extreme times. They've come out of the closet, and they're not hiding it anymore. They're not talking about legal immigrants versus illegal immigrants. In fact, now they're saying we should bar the legal immigrants because of what they call chain migration. That is the primary way that legal immigrants come to this country. They don't want that anymore. Why? Because they're afraid they're going to lose their supremacy. It's real. And they're now just admitting it. So, Anna, did the guy apologize?
Of course he didn't apologize. Look, to the credit of some Republican state lawmakers, they did come out and reject him, which is actually a fresh of breath air in this era because Representative Steve King has been retweeting well-known neo-Nazis, and Republicans on a federal level haven't denounced him, still haven't denounced him. So it's nice to see that some Republican state lawmakers in Arizona have come out and condemned him for these statements. But overall, I mean, the strategy now is to double down on your bigotry. That's what Trump does. He never apologizes, and it's worked out smashingly for him.
And Stringer not only didn't apologize, he said, well, look, the president says similar things. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, that's true. And he said he then started talking about African Americans and how they're not assimilating.
Doubling down.
Okay, wait a minute. African Americans have been here for centuries. What do you mean they're not assimilating? What does that mean? I don't know what, like, so. I literally don't know what it means. Do you want them to be white? They can't be white. I don't know what you want them to do. It's not like he says, oh, some people aren't. Still have accents.
Wait. What do you want them to do about their? Why do you care? Why does that bother them so much?
Okay.
What does? But the whole notion of assimilation coming from people like him is beyond insulting. As long as people come here and they follow our rules, follow our laws, they can practice whatever culture they want. As long as they're not breaking any of our laws. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. Like, the fact that people with accents make him uncomfortable gives you a sense of who he is and how devastatingly insecure he is as a human being.
He went on to talk about how people that came in the past from Ireland, Sweden, and Norway, etc., did not have accents. But, okay, they had accents at the beginning, you idiot, right? Second of all, people from Ireland speak English. So, poor example. Anyway, he's like, but they don't have accents anymore. Well, okay, then welcome the Latinos that are coming to the country, and they won't have accents in one generation. So, for example, I came when I was 8. I don't have an accent. You must love me, right? My guess is no, you're not going to. Whether it's accents or not accents, you don't love them. And it's because, in his case, he's a proud, apparently, white supremacist.
That's right.
And he's a state representative in the state of Arizona. If you're a Latino or any non-white person that he represents, do you think he's representing you?
Because he sees you as something that's politically destabilizing.
He sees you as a threat to his white supremacy, and he sees you as someone to be commanded and controlled, and not someone to be respected and to represent. He thinks my job is to lord over you, not to represent you. They should vote him out of office as quick as humanly possible. Look, a couple of the Republicans in Arizona said the right things about Stringer. Now it goes to the Republican voters in the next election.
Yeah.
There's Democrats there too. There's independents. I hope that they go out and vote. But will Republican voters look at this and go, oh, I can't believe he said that. It looks like he doesn't believe in American principles. Or will they be like, white supremacy rocks. I like this guy. And of course, at the end, what did he say? He said what Trump says all the time. Hey, I just tell it like it is. Yeah, it's true. You did tell it as it is in your mind. And you explained that you are racist, and you were very, very clear about it. Okay, we got to take another break. We'll be right back, guys. Thanks for watching or listening to this free version of the Young Turks podcast. You know that the full show is at tytnetwork.com/join. If you become a member, you get the full show ad-free. We love you for watching or listening. Either way, there's going to be a new free podcast tomorrow. You can keep on doing that. But if you want to get the full show ad-free, tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.